Welcome in, kingly brothers from around the planet, to the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. The whole aim of this podcast, every single word, every drop of love and enthusiasm and passion that is squeezed out and infused into every episode here, the whole intention is to support you, the powerful, amazing man that you are, showing up in your marriage to become the marriage transformative force in your relationship, so that you can go into every single day of your relationship with a sense of infinite hope that tomorrow is going to be a little bit better than today, because you have the courage and the knowledge to know how to sow seeds of presence and progress, that your woman will start tapping into the amazing transformative force that you are, and you just get to live your have it all happily ever after life with your beautiful queen. And that's the name of the game. That's why we're doing it. Yet this week I want to share with you, I was out with my own queen. We had one of you beautiful guys, actually, that has been listening in quite regularly. A big shout out to you. We were out in our local Italian restaurant and just having a beautiful evening. And I was actually just fully present there with my wife. We had our two kids and our guest that was over. And just completely, you know, present to the words coming out of everybody's mouth, and my wife, my queen, you know, just astounded by her beauty and her how she was dressed, and it just was a celebration of life and love and such a beautiful unfoldment. As the dinner, as the conversation deepened, lots of humor, etc., etc. So it was like a celebration of the human experience, and yet this was contrasted. There has always been this part of me. I think this is why my genius zone is actually supporting people in relationships and human connection. Even from a very young age, I don't know if any of you can resonate with this, but from a very young age, I was a keen social observer. There's a part of me that has always picked up a lot on the energies of people, where people are at, are they happy, are they sad, you know, what's going on, if they're caught in their head or... And I couldn't but have my attention caught for a few moments looking at a table that was across from us. There was this, I think it was husband and wife, they seemed to, at a glance, they seemed to have rings on the finger. They were, I don't know, like what age, like it doesn't even matter, maybe late 30s. So I don't know the people, but you know, they were in an established long-term relationship. This was not their first date night. With the story I'm about to unfold, fuck me if it was the first date night. I hope there wasn't a second date night. But actually, I think the tragic nature of what I was witnessing was, it was absolutely not the first date night. This was in a long, the context really seemed to point to it, that this man and woman were in a long-term, deep, committed relationship together. But the scene, as I just glanced over every now and then, you know, just the impression was, as the evening unfolded, and we both happened to have started our meals pretty much at the same time, and, you know, we ended up being there for about 2 hours. This couple were there maybe an hour and three quarters. They left just ahead of us. But for 90% of the evening, as we were chatting and laughing and going into the depths of, you know, deep, intimate sharing as a couple and with our guests and with our kids, and then lots of laughter and humor, the conversation and the connection was amazing. This couple, I don't know if they... I think the main time that they opened their mouth was maybe at the beginning with the sort of deciding what they were going to have, a little bit of interaction with the waiter. And that was about it. And I literally kid you not, the guy, they were eating in silence and in between courses, and even during the course, the guy was there scrolling on his phone. And I was just moved to the depths of my being, witnessing the look of, well, I can only say it was hopelessness on his woman's face. Whether it was her wife, his wife or not, but, you know, she was just looking on at this man totally lacking presence, wrapped up in his head in this mental journey he was on, scrolling. It was like the real incessant scrolling down, down, down. And it's not, he wasn't even sharing, you know, it's like, haha, you know, share, at least there's some connection. No, he was totally captivated, locked in on the screen. She was there looking on and looking on, and, you know, and this is the high point of their week. You know, maybe it's every couple of weeks. I don't know if this is like a date night, but this is the night, like, both of them were had dressed up, were looking good. This is like the high point of the relationship. This is outside of the busyness of the day to day. So, I mean, if that's was this man's, you know, level of presence, when you have created a container, you've got dressed up, you go out, your woman's looking good. I mean, you have a nice meal, the whole scene is set, and that's your level of presence. That's your level of awareness. That's your level of appreciation for your woman. That's your level of, like, just being present with her, looking at her and listening to her. Like, there was an absolute lack of it. So it was quite a tragic scene for me to look on at. And yet, you know, there again, radical honesty. When I look back, I no, no judgment, right or wrong. I don't think I was never really one for scrolling a phone. So I think the context, but I never really had that as a habit. Yet, putting my own energetic hand up, I mean, for years, I had a radical lack of presence around my woman, and it eroded my woman's trust of me and my woman's hope. And the woman's look of hopelessness, to be honest, that was, you know, a feeling of hopelessness that took over my wife, my queen, my goddess. You know, at one point, I keep going back to a certain story, you know, when it was breakdown or breakthrough in my own marriage. But it was the continual, almost silent in the background, erosion of my woman's trust that got her to a point of a sense of hopelessness that, hey, it's same shit, different day. I mean, we've peaked. You know, we've two kids. We've this married life that we've created around ourselves. It's like, is this it? And there was a sense of hopelessness for my queen in that ended up, I mean, thankfully, in ways, another guy came in the scene and shook the whole thing up, shook my foundations. Definitely, I came to ground zero. I had the humility, sort of by necessity, forced upon me, the hummus, the ground of truth of where I was at. And I had to start showing the fuck up. So that was like my escape door. That was like the stairs that came down from heaven, that I had the choice to walk up them or not. I'm very grateful for that. This man, in this case, in the restaurant, I mean, definitely there's a wake-up calling. There's part of, like, and there's lots of different shadow sides going on and wounding going on. Like, the woman in that scenario, like, is it all on the guy? No, I mean, there's a part for her. I mean, on some levels, if she got up, and I sort of say this like Hollywood style, I don't literally mean it. It's not to, you know, if you're super sensitive, it's not to say that physical violence is a good thing. But if she got up, hit him a slap in the face and said, you know, like, fuck you. I mean, I've dressed up, we're out, we're like 5 years in, 10 years into marriage, into relationship, and fucking look at you. It's like, I've dressed up, I'm looking good, we're here, and you're just in the fucking phone. Like, get up, storm out, go home, lock him out of the house, and have him swelter in a bit of, in a steam of shit for a couple of days. That would be the, I think the goddess is Kali, that my wife tells me about. It's like this ferocious warrior, fierce, archetypal part of a woman. That was absent in the woman. So it's, you know, it's 100%, 100% in terms of responsibility. Yet in this podcast here, we're constantly talking about us as men, as husbands, owning our 100%. It's only by focusing on your 100% that you end up being the transformative force in your relationship. What was coming up in all of this and in my reflections, and of course, as I'm talking with guys around the world, vast majority of men end up having like a lack of presence in the relationship. And it comes down to a thing, and it's how we relate to being married. We have this idea that, you know, you put the ring in a finger, and maybe some of you haven't literally put a ring in a finger. There's many different super cool ways. The most common is the most common symbol, obviously, is putting a ring in a finger. But, you know, honoring whatever your unique expression of being married is, if it's different to a ring. But I'll go with the most common one. You know, a ring in a finger, for most men, it's like, oh, I have arrived. Subconsciously, definitely, sometimes consciously, it's like, hey, you know, it's like, this is the big thing, this is my commitment to you. And there's almost this feeling of, why are you not happy with me, woman? I've given you my life, I've given you my commitment, I've gotten married, you know, to you, where we have a house together, kids together. There's almost like this sense of resentment of, how she's still fucking unhappy with me, you know, I've given my all, like, how much more, you know, the masculine search is for freedom. So we think, like, there's this sort of barter going on. It's like, I've given you my freedom, you know, I'm not going off fucking other women, I'm not going off around the planet, I've given you my life and all. So it's like, almost like she owes you something, and there's this sense of having arrived. I liken it to sort of like an attitude that you've reached university tenureship. I remember a teacher, Wayne Dyer. I don't know if any of you are familiar with him. I loved his teachings. He has passed. He has transitioned on to his next life. Yet his teachings were beautiful. And I remember Wayne talking about university tenureship, where he actually got really frightened. He ended up, you know, he was in whatever university as a teacher, professor, and he was about to get tenureship. And, you know, like, that's when you have arrived. That's when, you know, like, as Wayne was describing it, at that point, I mean, your job is yours for life. It's almost like they can't kick you out. You'd want to do like a literal crime to get kicked out of that job. You're that set in. You're part of the furniture. And yet that's where arrogance comes in. Because if your job title or your role is not under question, I mean, who's calling your shit on you? That's arrogance. And your best does not come forward in that sort of a scenario. Yet 99.99% of men look at being married sort of like the eyes and the attitude of university tenureship. It's like, I've arrived, you know, we've set this promise, we're there. And maybe not right in the very beginning, albeit it can actually happen at a frightening pace. A same shit, different day approach to life and marriage and intimacy can happen. And it's coming off the back of this uncalled, unspoken arrogance. And hey, look, it happens both sides, but I'm going to speak to you guys listening in. It's unconscious arrogance on our behalf, which is like, you know, I've put a ring in a finger, I've put a ring in whore finger, you know, it's like we've done our vows, whatever your unique way of doing vows. I mean, the job is done. I mean, we're married. I mean, like, what more do you want? I mean, it was done, like, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, ring is still on the finger. We're married. I mean, we go to bed at night. I'm pretty fucking sure we wake up in the morning, I'll still be in bed with you waking up. You'll be there. And, you know, I'll get up into my life, and I'm pretty fucking sure, you know, just like the last 5, 10, 30 years, you know, no matter what I do during the day around you, around work, no matter what my standard of presence, my standard of appreciation, my standard of loving you, my standard of just my standard of being a man in your presence, I mean, you're going to be fucking there later on tonight. So it's like, it's tenureship. It's like, my job title as husband is not at risk. Now, it's a different thing altogether. What I was introduced to as an idea recently, if some of you, I know it's been quite a popular episode recently, there was ex-Special Forces Green Beret Lane Ballone on the podcast. I mentioned this really quickly in passing in one of the other episodes in the last coming weeks, but it's really so potent here. I wanted to go deep, bring you guys deep into the significance of this. And Lane said one thing about the Green Berets, and I just said, like, it jumped out of me. It's fucking so potent, the wisdom and the significance that's behind it. Lane was explaining to me that in the Special Forces, in the Green Berets, there's this sort of like a mantra or a motto that they live by. It's a way of life for them. You've got to earn the right to wear the Green Beret every day of service. It doesn't matter how hard your training is. It doesn't matter that you were there on graduation day and it's like you did whatever the salutes were, the ceremony and the big hoo-da. It's like you get your Green Beret. You have not arrived. Your journey is just beginning. And that journey, you're held to account every moment of every day of service as a Green Beret in the Special Forces. You're held to the highest levels of accountability. Your standards must be impeccably high in all areas of how you're showing up to earn the right to keep the Green Beret for the next day of service. It rocked me to my core. I absolutely was so inspired by that. And the immediate relevance within, you know, the work here at Be The Husband. She brags about my work with coaching guys and in men's groups and, you know, speaking to you guys on the podcast. It just jumped out of me. It's like, oh, that's it. Like, that's the metaphor. I said it to Lane, I think, during our beautiful conversation. Was like, that's the metaphor. What a metaphor for marriage. What a metaphor for the ring on your finger. Whatever that symbol is that you wear around that signifies, you know, your commitment to marriage, to being in union with your beautiful wife, your queen, your goddess. You know, what does that ring mean? Does that ring mean, you know, university tenureship? I mean, we've done deal. You know, it's like same shit, different day. Doesn't matter how I show up. She's going to be there later on as we go to sleep the next morning, and pretty much that's just a way of things. Or is it like the Green Beret where, okay, you've got the ring and the finger, but that ring and the finger means you now have a set of standards and expectations of you as a man, as a husband, as a parent for those of you men that have chosen to go that route, as a lover, as a leader. There's a set of expectations that you will reach continually to your highest levels, your highest standards of presence, your highest standards of listening, your highest standards of intimate relating, your highest standards of appreciation, your highest standards of owning your shit when you fuck up. It happens, but do you own your shit? Your highest standards of cracking open your hard outer traumatized shell and coming further and further and further into fully embodied love, etc., etc. You know, the men we look up to the most as men, you know, if you think, I've hacked YouTube off my phone. I didn't like it. It's becoming a distraction. But I know when I was looking on it, you know, sort of little 5 or 10 minutes motivational videos that, yeah, they were helpful. The guys I was looking at were like, you know, billionaires or CEOs of major companies, you know, the likes of Alain Ballon, Green Berets. I've drawn towards sort of, you know, ex-Navy SEALs, their mindset. BJJ, I've done Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, the black belt idea. You know, sporting superstars, heroes, the Michael Jordans of the world. And like, what's so inspiring? And like, tap base, like, who are the men that you look at that you are like, oh, you know, there's just some invisible attractive force to these men that you just, you're so deeply inspired by their leadership, by their embodiment of masculinity, of their powerful, unapologetic embodiment of power and force and confidence and courage. You know, every single one of them, bar none, you know, without any exception, every single one of these men live to an exceptionally high, if you want to say, there might be an external code of conduct, like the military style, but there's a definite inner code of conduct. There's a code by which to live by, whereby it's intolerable inside of themselves to drop their standards. You know, the Michael Jordan as a leader, in high level basketball. I mean, he had to, if you look behind the scenes, he was embodying such a level, and he took it upon himself. Kobe Bryant, who he mentored so powerfully afterwards, he taught him the same lessons. It's like, as leaders, they took it upon themselves to embody such a high level of standards of performance that they inspired everybody else. They took it upon themselves. That was their consciously taken responsibility, that their standard had to be so high that it would encourage others and lead the way for others to follow. You know, the CEO in a company, the billionaire, they all talk about it. It's like, you don't know. I mean, you can't ever be lazy at the leading edge of, you know, having that level of responsibility for a major company or companies. You know, they're constantly aware of, they have to be at the absolute peak of their performance because they set the culture for the business organism. Every single human being in that company, they're setting the standard. And the capacity of that company to survive, you know, market crashes, economies, wars, shit happening, politics, pandemics, all of that stuff, the CEO takes it upon, well, I'd say himself, we're talking about sort of male models of masculinity. Of course, there can be women in those as well. But you're getting my point. They take it upon themselves to uphold such a level of standards. There's nothing taken for granted, and they earn the right to lead the company on a day-to-day basis. They can't show up and have just like, well, I'm just having a shit heap day. Why? Because if they show up and have a day leading a company and they have three meetings that day, they could have like their board of directors, they have their sales and marketing team, and they have some, like, you know, they have a meeting with investors, and they're just having a shit day, and they show up and they're not very present, they're not listening very well, they're not appreciating anybody's tasks, they're not owning their shit, they start blaming people, you know, for shit that's happening, things that are going down, they just blame people, and there's no love. I mean, one day as a CEO, I don't mean that the whole thing crumbles, but one day, the negative impact of a lack of presence and a lack of all of those incredible high standards can really have knock-on effects that are massive. So in all of this, you know, what they have is humility. That yes, they have this incredibly, on one level, powerful role. There's a lot of power as a CEO. I mean, you're the one in charge. You set the standard. You set the direction. You are the leader. The Green Beret. I mean, there's a very high, you know, what's the line from, is it Superman or what's the show? I'm forgetting, but it's, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. The Black Belt. I mean, the Black Belt comes into onto the mats in the dojo. It's like, it's the highest honoring. It's the Black Belt. When you receive the Black Belt, it's there again. It's not that you have arrived. You have taken upon yourself the highest responsibility on any mats. Like, you're known as the Black Belt. You have the highest responsibility to every single other belt that's in the room. You set the standard. Everybody looks at you different. They're looking for your leadership. They're looking for your modeling. You're not allowed to have an off day, in a sense. There's sort of like, when I say about not allowed to have an off day, sometimes guys can get like a little bit prickly. You know those emotionally reactive things when, you know, you hear somebody saying stuff, it's like, oh, what do you mean I'm not allowed to have a bad day? Like, that's bullshit. And then you disregard what's being saying. I like the old golfer, was it Jack Nicklaus? He was asked, like, what was it that defined him from all the other leading golf players of the day? You know, where, you know, by Jack's own admission, a lot of the other players were maybe as good as him when they were having a good day. But the distinguishing factor between himself, who excelled at such a high level, winning so many Grand Slams, etc., being world number one for an incredible amount of time, was he learned to play poorly well. I'm not saying you can't have a bad day, or a CEO can't have a bad day, that a Green Beret, that their 10 out of 10 has to be the same level all the time, or the Black Belt. But they show up And they, when they're playing poorly, they play poorly at the best available capacity. They don't take a slump. They don't go into closure. They don't drop their shoulders, drop their heads ever. They show up at the 10 out of 10 that is available to them. And over time, their good days will be very good, and their bad days will be much better than, years previous before their training, before they took on that responsibility. In all of this, guys, I'm really encouraging you. I mean, if you get this point into your nervous system and you lock in, this can transform and will transform everything in your marriage. Taking this sort of a message on board, your woman will love you forevermore, because your woman, my woman, every woman out there in relationship, they're looking for the leader in you. They're looking for the alpha in you. They're looking for you to step into kingship. And again, the reactivity part can be like, oh, well, I tried to lead the other, any time I try to give my feedback, any time she just slaps it back in my face, she's wounded, blah, blah, blah. You go into blame. That's not leadership. all of these guys take blame on the chin. CEOs, Green Berets, Black Belts. They take it. Michael Jordan, you listen to the story. I was looking at the Netflix series about him. I mean, the amount of flack he took throughout his whole career, yet he stayed unapologetically to the standard. Part of being a leader is you're going to get kickback. Part of leading, stepping into kingship and leadership with your woman, you will get kickback. Why? You must. She must test you to see, are you really present? She must test you to see, are you just being a nice guy? Are there just a river of compliments, or is your appreciation grounded and rooted that even when she's having a shitstorm day, you're still appreciating her? She needs to test the gold, like with gold, you can test it by biting it. Your woman needs to test your leadership. She needs to test it by biting it and seeing, is it gold or is it something pretending to be gold? But getting back to, how do you look and view subconsciously? How are you approaching the ring in your finger? Do you, and like get radically honest with yourself, do you look at it like you've arrived, and have you unwittingly let same shit, different day? Are your standards of presence, let's put it like this. I actually want to put it like this. Like the couple that I was saying earlier on in this. Okay, just come with me on this for a moment. I think it's a spontaneous example, but I really think it will land. And when I'm pitching this example in this context, I really encourage you, invite you, nay, challenge you directly to get really fucking real within your own nervous system on this. Like the couple earlier on that I was saying in the Italian restaurant that I witnessed this week. Imagine if that guy had, a cameraman that was like the Truman Show, Jim Carrey, old style film. Every single thing, every single way he was showing up with his woman was filmed. And there was like a half hour show or an hour of highlights put together at the end of the week. It's like, this is, this is how I show up in marriage video. This is the video highlights of the good, the bad, and the ugly of how you have been showing up. So imagine the last week of your marriage, a cameraman was following you, taking all the bits. This is how you are on date night. This is how you are in the morning. This is how you are at the end of 5 days, at the end of long day at work. That's your level of presence. That's the exact look in the face every single time you see your woman. That's you're not seeing her face. You're seeing your face. That's you in conflict and argument. You're not seeing her face, which is easy to blame. You're actually seeing your face. You're seeing, are you making eye contact? And you're like, oh my God, I never make eye contact. And oh my God, oh look, I'm actually pacing, crossing back the room. Jeez, there's no presence there. You're seeing all of it. You're seeing directly a video of how you show up. You see, we never get that perspective, do we? It's so easy because we're locked into our nervous system and our eyes can't see us clearly. We're seeing our woman. So it's so easy to see the shit that she, how she is not showing up and how she is going into closure and how she is pacing and how she is not holding eye contact and how she's, and we listen to her. But you would now have a video of you. So how is that video in the last week? You know, how close to 10 out of 10, if you had to mark it, how close to 10 out of 10 are you in presence? How close to 10 out of 10 are you in listening? How close to 10 out of 10 are you in consistent intimate relating, like in the bedroom, but also around the house, you know, around everyday life? You know, is there any nice, sensual, sensitive, you know, caressing of your woman during the day, or is it all just same shit, different day? How close to 10 out of 10 are you in appreciation? Is there any explicit appreciation? Or is there just a lot of subconscious, like, I appreciate her, I show it by like just showing up. I prepare the dinner table and like that's appreciation. But how much explicit appreciation? 10 out of 10 is just like you're a river of appreciation for her. How is like your 10 out of 10 in owning your shit, in loving and in parenting, in general attitude around her? How would that be? How would that video be if you had that 1 hour reel of highlights of your week and how you're showing up in marriage? Then go back. You know, go back to your first week together. You know, the first time you meet her and, you know, like an hour reel of the first week or 2 weeks together. You know, just an hour reel of how you are in the first date night, the second date night. You know, when you're sort of leading up, how is your levels of 10 out of 10 presence and listening and empathy when you're trying to score? you're at that point. It's like, okay, you know, it's like, this is nice, this is romantic and all the rest. But man, like you're just in those moments when you've still yet to sleep with her. You're still in that sort of predator, alpha male. I just want, you know, you just want to, you're just yearning to take your woman for the first time as yours, you know, sexually. How was that video reel? You know, was there more appreciation back then? Were there more smiles in your face? Was there more eye contact, you know, gazing into your woman's eyes? Were you listening to her better? Was your presence better? You know, all of these things. Was your loving better? Again, 99.99% of guys, when I do any reflections like this, they're like, there can be tittering and laughing. There can be downright grief. Because all of a sudden you realize, well, fuck me, how have I come this far off course? Because the truth is, for 99% of married men out there, touching base with yourself, is it true for you? But the video highlight reel of your week, in the like the last week, if you're 5 years in, 10 years, 30 years, 25 years, whatever the fuck your length of time in relationship is, the video of the last week and the video of your first week is drastically different. Your enthusiasm levels, passion levels, awareness levels, listening levels, understanding, you know, seeking to understand her, your reactivity. You know, the first week, you hold all of that shitty stuff out. You're not reactive. You're not letting the aggressive shadow side, all those shitty bits. But when you get married and then the same shit, university tenureship, I mean, she's going to be there in the evening anyway. So you just let all that shit hang out. You know, like it's, she gets the worst of you. And actually, the most upsetting thing for our women are that they know our neighbors get the best of us. Our people at work get the best of us. The boss at work gets the best of us. The client gets the best of us. She gets all the shitty bits. She gets the lack of patience. She gets like the guy fucking scrolling on his phone on date night. I mean, scroll on his phone in the middle of a business meeting. Do you have a job the next day? I mean, you'd be called immediately into account. You'd be like, man, well, if you're the owner of the business in a meeting scrolling down, I mean, you're not getting any clients from that. You're not, the universe is not going to give you anything good onto your table if that's how you're showing up. So we end up doing giving our best And sort of like we earn the right to show up in our job the next day. I like to think, not always, we earn the right to show up in our club the next day. We'll give our best to the football team, to the five-a-side soccer team. We'll give our best to, you know, the guys we go jogging with. We'll give our best more or less to our neighbour. You know, we'll help them out, you know, at a moment's notice, etc. We'll give our best to keep those relationships going. So it's almost like we earn the right to keep our role with so many people intact. But we're not, like the Special Forces Green Beret attitude, we're not earning the right to wear the wedding band on our finger every day. Reactivity to the side. Guys can go, oh, but, you know, I mean, that's different. Well, in nature, you know, alpha, the alpha wolf, there's been chimpanzees studied as well. Their alpha role, sort of actually closer to the human embodiment of alpha leadership. The alpha has a massive power and responsibility. But the alpha wolf, the alpha chimp, or the alpha in whatever pack, they absolutely, energetically must, by natural order, they have the absolute necessity on a moment-to-moment, day-to-day, month-to-month, year-to-year, to the point at which, you know, they weaken and they just don't, they're not serving the best part of the tribe. When their presence drops or their weakness goes down. But for every moment that they are the alpha of that tribe, it's their highest standards or nothing. Other members of the tribe can sort of fuck around a little bit. They can do the playful thing. The alpha is the one that sets the standard. And that's how it needs to be. And there's a natural core to your woman, like the woman in the restaurant the other day, like my woman for 12 years. It's like when my standards from, if you want to say, playfully putting it, like the first couple of months, the video that she had of me, because, you know, your woman has that video. This psychological video, self-reflective process that we're going through. Let's just remember, your woman, the video that runs in her head is that video. She, like, where you would need a cameraman, she has her memory. She has like a whole library of videos of how you show up. So if in that reflection you're like, oh my God, yeah, Jesus, there is a distinct change between how I was showing up in the beginning and how I'm showing up now. She has that. And that hurts her. That hurts her to a level that you have dropped your standards and you show up in a way that is like a same shit, different day, that she's taken for granted, that you can scroll in the phone, that, you know, your levels of appreciation, your levels of energy, your reactivity around the house, your grumpiness with the kids, your grumpiness with her, your, you know, the lack of capacity to take direct feedback without just sulking like a kid, etc., etc., etc. We all have this stuff. I still, on a day-to-day basis, work with my shadow side. There's still wounds in my nervous system. It's just a high level of conscious presence. And I am definitely more realizing, like, I mean, I nearly lost my woman and kids because of not showing up. This idea of earning the right to be her husband, to be her lover, to be the fully present on the ground father of my kids. You know, if you get divorced, if you risk that from a lack of presence, you end up not having the right to actually be the on the ground dad. I mean, there's a major price to pay, a major price to pay in relationship. The only thing is, because we end up in this same shit, different day, taking our woman for granted, because the stakes don't seem as high, divorce sneaks up on us. Separation sneaks up on us. The guy coming into our house and my marriage vanishing seemingly in front of my eyes, it sneaked up on me. I didn't realize things had got that bad. And this is why I'm slowing down on this topic of, you know, you've got to earn the right to wear the green beret every day of service. And my encouragement, my invitation, and the radical direct challenge underneath it all is that you've got to earn the right to wear your wedding band every single day of your marriage. If you don't have this type of an attitude, it will sneak up on you. One of two things. You're playing a high-risk game with divorce or separation. And you can, so many guys go through those and they camp out feeling empowered because they just blame their women forever after. And then they go to the second marriage and that fails too. I've said this before, you know, first time marriages, there's a 50% failure rate. Second time marriages, there's a 65% failure rate. Third marriages, there's a, I think it's an 80 or 85% failure rate. Why? Because if you're blaming your first wife, you're going to blame your second wife even more, and you're going to blame your third wife even more. That's from the masculine perspective. The change in perspective that changes everything is when you look at the ring in your finger and you start having the humility to realize you've got to earn the right. It's, you know, I'm not here to force this perspective on you. I want, like, in slowing down, guys, you know, you that you're listening in, and listening in, as always, is this reminder, you know, listen in like I'm speaking directly to you, like I'm challenging you directly. You don't have to take this perspective. You can hold whatever perspective on marriage that works for you. But the question that I ask is, well, how is your perspective working out for you? Genuinely, how is that working out for you? And if you're not experiencing, you know, daily bliss and joy and laughter and loving connection and rock solid appreciation, a river of appreciation from your woman to you. You know, your practice of appreciation is such a way of your life in relating with her that she's just a river of appreciation. I never knew my woman could appreciate me as much as she does now. And the wonderful thing is, I don't actually need the appreciation. I'm now learning that I'm filling my own cup. But it's just a fucking beautiful thing. For so many years, I wanted her to trust me. I wanted her to appreciate me. And nothing was coming my way, or it seemed nothing was coming my way. But if you're not having the most beautiful, connecting, sexually attractive, present, appreciative, married life, intimate life experience with your queen, well, then your perspective, your belief system, your philosophical approach to marriage, to the ring on your finger that symbolizes what being married means as a man, it's not working half as good as it could. This is the name of the game. Be the husband she brags about is taking 100% extreme ownership for what's showing up in your married life is all down to you. Oh, but it's not. It is. Oh, but that's not true. She's doing this. Cool. Well, focusing on horseshit, how's that working out for you? The great CEOs, they take it all in themselves. The Navy SEALs, extreme ownership. That's a Navy SEAL, is Jocko Willink, ex-commander, Navy SEAL commander Jocko Willink. It's the title of his book. It's the Navy SEAL approach, extreme ownership. Green Berets, extreme ownership. BJJ Black Belts, I mean, they own their shit. Great husbands. Heroic husbands. Kings in relationship. You know, how are you identifying? Because if you argue for your limitations, as has been said by many teachers, you get to keep them. The greatest way of, one of the greatest approaches to upgrading in an insane way your married life experience is starting looking at that ring in the finger and going, I've got to fucking earn the right to wear this every single day. And my question coming into landing here is, how do you need to show up to create a 10 out of 10 video this week? You know, if from this reflective process, and it's playful, it's provocative, self-reflective process, and I honor you guys for listening in, but it's only of use. There's no point listening in and then just going out the far side going, oh yeah, that was interesting, you know, just it made my commute to work a little bit less boring. It's only of use if you implement the awareness, the new awareness that comes from it, that level of humility, that level of aha moments of, oh, fuck, there is a big difference between those videos. My question to you is, like, if that cameraman was following you for the 7 days after listening to this episode, what do you need to do to show up to create a 10 out of 10 how I show up in marriage video, if I'm playfully calling it that? What do you need to do? How do you need to be more present? When you meet your woman today, when you meet that beautiful woman, she's put a ring on her finger. She's committed to you. What do you need to do? How do you need to listen to her? How do you need to be when you go into door with her, to be fully present, to ask her how her day is and fucking stop and listen? How do you need to be with her, you know, listening and present in conflict this week, in those intense, icky conversations that you normally are energetically, psychologically trying to avoid and back out of? How do you need to show up in those? You know, is there a deeper level of presence? Is there a deeper level of listening? Is there a deeper level of owning your shit, of saying, hey, sorry, Amore, you know, sorry, I realize I was quite reactive there for a few minutes. I own that. Now I'm fully present. What were you saying? I really want to know at the deepest level available, you know, what is going on for you? How am I? There's capacity to ask her for feedback on how you're showing up. Tell her, it's like, hey, for the next 7 days, I'm doing this challenge. How can I improve? How can I be a better husband around here? How can I improve as a lover? How can I improve as a dad? How can I improve in my finances? We're constantly having these arguments about finances. You know, there's end of the year fucking accounts are being done. It's normally a stressful time between us. How can I improve in my presence and leadership there? What do you need to do to show up to create a 10 out of 10 video that in a week's time, if 100, there's 200-300 plus guys, if we all got together and had a convention and we split into groups and, you know, you were in a room of 10 guys and every guy had to show his hour long video of how he's showing up in a week. What do you need to do that if you were being held accountable by other men listening in? What do you need to do to be proud of your video? To go, you know, the guys looking at this video, they're going to be fucking showed. They're going to be shown a modeling of high embodiment of how you can be a great husband. What do you need to do to get that sense of validation from the powerful men around the world listening in? Like, really, really, what do you need to do? I'm going to leave you with that, guys. Quick synopsis. You've got to earn the right to wear the green beret if you're in the special forces every day. But my absolute encouragement is that to start looking at the ring in your finger, like, rub it, look at it, reflect on it, and take it upon you from now on forevermore that you've got to earn the right to wear it every day. And you don't earn the right by talking. You don't earn the right. It's embodied presence. It's showing up with higher and higher standards. Remembering, this is like one of the continual repetition is mastery moments. Your woman, your wife, your queen, your goddess, she is not looking for perfection. That's an inner critic bullshit high standard that we put to suffocate ourselves and live unhappily ever after. She's not looking for perfection, but she's absolutely expecting consciously and subconsciously improving levels of presence and progress. What are the improving levels of presence and progress you're going to gift her this week to make an epic How I Showed Up in Marriage video by the end of this week that you can be proud of? And she will light up at the end of this week going, oh my fucking God, because why? She will have a new video reel, a new 7-day video reel in her memory library, in her head going, man, what fire has taken over my man? How has he just transformed things in the last week? How am I, with all these beautiful new memories of like radical appreciation and loving, oh my God, and how he showed up in the bedroom, and then that conversation about money, and how he has been with the kids, and yeah, when he came home from work this week, man, 5 days, it was full enthusiasm, asking me about my day and fully listening, fully present. He hasn't been on the phone. What is that video that you are going to gift to your woman this week? Go gift it as the kingly, amazing husband, man, lover you are. And for those of you powerful men listening in who want to skyrocket into 2023 as the marriage transformative force in your relationship, don't forget what's coming around the corner. I'm so excited to let you know is the Be the Husband She Brags About. The application of the Marriage Mastery System in the Be the Husband She Brags About 6-month Marriage Transformation Program. There's going to be high flame coaching from me, amazing feedback and high accountability from other guys in the group. Ultimately, it's simplified in 3 simple, potent steps. Number 1, hack out what is not working in your marriage. There's certain things that you're showing up. You don't realize how destructive they are, damaging they are, how corrosive they are to the connection between you. Find out what they are and hack them out. Number 2, implement what's proven to work. All of the most potent strategies, that's all within the Be the Husband She Brags About Marriage Mastery System. Everything, it's proven to work, and implement that. Number 3, live out your have it all happily ever after marriage. It is as simple as that. To implement now, sign up to the email list at kingsoffreedom.me. The link is in the podcast episode description. You, on top of that, you can get the 15 simple habits to be the husband she brags about there. But you're going to be hearing way more about the exciting 2023 6-month marriage transformation program. It's going to be a small exclusive band of few kings joining in there and enjoying marriage transformation like you never imagined was possible. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing, extraordinary kingly day.